You're welcome back to the News at One. Shortly, like I say, we should be going to the steps of government buildings. But just to let you know that still with us are Dr. Teresa Reedy of UCC and Dr. Kevin Cunningham of TU Dublin. Also joining us is RTE Radio 1 reporter and mainstay of the Know Your Constituency podcast, Barry Lenehan. Now, there's every danger that at some point in the very near future, I'm going to interrupt you, Barry, but you've been studying all 43 constituencies. If you were to pick this country's version of the swing states, where would they be?
Well, I'd look at perhaps Dublin Bay North, first of all, the north side of the capital. Why is that perhaps a swing state? Well, for instance, you'll see the Sinn Féin vote. The last time, Denise Mitchell topping the poll with the third highest vote in the history of the state after George Lee and General Richard Mulcahy. Where does that vote go? Can Sinn Féin keep that vote as high? Of course, in the local elections, they lost votes around places such as Coolock and Darndale over the immigration issue. Can they contend for two seats? They have a running mate in Micheál McDonagh. You also have big flux for the two Civil War parties. Fianna Fáil, first time in decades, no Haughey on the ballot paper around here. Fine Gael, first time since 1982, no Richard Bruton. Can those parties keep their vote up? Both parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, think they'll take a seat each, but the last seat here in Dublin Bay North, this is a five-seater, and we're hearing a lot about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael transferring to each other. An intercoalition transfer could well bring a second seat, in particular for Fine Gael. So that's one definitely to watch. We heard Simon Harris this morning talk about, you know, we've no candidate issues, but my phone hopping with intel from Clare, where Fine Gael, as we've discussed, Rachel, have had a chaotic selection
this
process.
This is it. When we recorded the podcast, they had just the one candidate, Fine Gael, in Clare. They now have three, am I right?
That's right. Just they've added Councillor Joe Cooney and Dr. Tom Nolan as well. Joe Cooney is interesting. He's a serial poll topper since 2004 in the local elections, around 68 years of age, heavily involved in construction and the GAA. But he apparently turned down Fine Gael three times.
Yeah, and it was widely reported locally. It was on the front page of both the local papers that he had said no and that they would have to look elsewhere. They did look elsewhere and then he seemed to change his mind.
That's it, yes. And he is put forward as a formidable vote getter, but it shows it's the first time since 1969 that Fine Gael have a completely new ticket in the county of Clare, and it would show the nervousness perhaps that was around Leonora Carey, who was standing in Joe Carey's stead. So even though there is this national pull, perhaps the party would feel, again, you look at places like Clare where they've had chaotic selection processes and have ended up in some other areas with not the optimum ticket. That's an interesting one to see. Brand Harris versus the local factor. So that would be definitely one to keep an eye on. Another one is Tip North, a real bellwether.
And back in the day, Tip North used to always be described as the bellwether constituency. Has it regained its bellwether status?
That's because since every election since 1969, bar February 1982, two of the three seats have gone to government-supporting TDs. So here we have, obviously, Fianna Fáil have had issues since Jackie Cahill's abrupt departure due to health reasons. Michael Smith Jr. and Ryan O'Mara both running, perhaps to avoid any kerfuffle after a contested selection convention. They'd be looking to hold on, but you also have likely victors perhaps in Michael Lowry and Alan Kelly. The Labour Party pretty gung-ho, they want to be back in government buildings, so keep your eye there on Tip North. Fine Gael running Dr. Phil Bugler, but it is hard to see them winning a seat with the presence of Michael Lowry. Another one, GAA is a key factor in this election.
Isn't it always?
And of course we talked about the inter-coalition transfer, but in Dún Laoghaire you have three coalition TDs going hammer and tongs at each other, and only two will survive. So this is where you have Richard Boyd Barrett will come home for the People Before Profit. Fine Gael have a seat with Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Fianna Fáil with Cormac Devlin, the Green Party with Oisín Smith. This is high on Fine Gael's target list of gains in the Safe and Mount Street, but all three coalition partners were apparently claiming credit for the new clubhouse at Coola on Monday. Coola, the Dublin football champions. Cormac Devlin had a press release out at 6 o'clock in the morning. Oisín Smith was big up on TikTok on it, and the news was broken to the club by Fine Gael's Jennifer Carroll McNeill. So
all politics is certainly local, and out that way they don't have the benefit of a local radio station either, so they really have to rely on the social media. Kevin, to what extent is every election actually 43 or however many separate elections?
It is to some extent. I mean, certainly we did a poll there last weekend where we asked people what party they were voting for and then individually asked them the constituency that they're in and then the candidate giving them the full ballot. And there was a clear distinction. There were significant numbers of voters. 80% of voters were picking a party that was similar in terms of the candidate list and that was the same in terms of the vote party that they were selecting for the voter list. But 20% were actually selecting different parties when it came to the individual ballot. And I think that's... And the overall results showed that Fine Gael's vote did decline quite significantly from around, I think it was 25, 26% down to 23%. They were still ahead of Fianna Fáil, but Fianna Fáil gained a little bit as well.
So where people couldn't name a specific candidate, they couldn't say, oh, listen, there's so-and-so, I voted for him before, I'll probably vote for him or her again, the vote tended to go down.
So I think it was people saying they liked Fine Gael as a brand when they were given a list of parties, but when they were given the list of candidates for their given constituency, a lot of those Fine Gael voters would have gone to other parties. So Fianna Fáil, for example, have a very strong candidate-based approach. And I think this is a legacy from 2011. These candidates would have come through in a period which was very difficult for the party and build up a very strong personal vote. The same thing is also happening for the Labour Party. They had a very difficult time in 2016. Those candidates obviously that survived that period had a very strong personal brand, so they kind of exceed their personal brand. The opposite is obviously for the Social Democrats, who have a slightly weaker brand, weaker candidates relative to the strength of their brand. So there's differences here between the candidates and the party's branding.
Sinn Féin, Kevin, what was that in that poll? Because some of the my sources in Sinn Féin saying they saw that poll and they would really think this is why they've added a slew of candidates. They're up to towards 70 now in the last 10 days, but they took sucker from that poll.
So Sinn Féin's vote has always been a much more party-based vote. So that means,
and we saw that at the last general election when people who were relatively unknown, who'd had difficulty getting elected to a council seat, topped polls and were elected to the Dáil.
The big distinction between general elections and council local elections is that the extent to which that candidate-based preference, you know, every election is a little bit about candidates, a little bit about parties. Local elections are far more candidate-based. You have a lot of people who are saying that they'll vote for Sinn Féin in the general, but picking completely different local candidates because that candidate factor is far more important. That incumbency factor is far more important. So whereas Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael got 22 or 23% of the vote each in those local elections, part of that, built into that, was the relative strength of their incumbent local councillors who've been in those constituencies for years and years and years. But that, well, one of the other things we can see from this election, and Barry kind of pointed to quite cogently as well, was that how when we asked people whether they'd vote for the candidate if they're in a different party, there's significant numbers that would say yes, but there's a big number of people who would say that they would vote yes if that party was, let's say if they're voting for a Fine Gael candidate and if that party was in Fianna Fáil, almost 30 to 40% say yes, I would still vote for that same candidate if they were in that other party, same vice versa. But when it comes to like someone voting for a Fine Gael candidate and the alternative is if that person was in Sinn Féin, that falls to like 3%. So there's a lot more movement between those two parties. And that's why...
We're still waiting on Simon Harris. They're looking at a door here, but no sign of anybody walking towards that door. I want to go to Teresa Reedy in Cork, though. Teresa, if you were to look at any particular constituency, or maybe give us one or two names where you think people, they might be worth watching over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think there are patterns that we'll want to look out for, and there are certain candidates that perhaps are good indicators of that. If I go back to the other ones that talk about independence a little bit, in Cork North Central, Ken O'Flynn is running for Independent Ireland. Now, he'd formerly be of the Fianna Fáil gene pool, but I think he's one of the independents that's going to make a breakthrough, and I think he'll be one of the ones to look out.
Yeah. Just as we're talking there, here we go, Simon Harris.
To Orison Uachtaráin to advise President Higgins, pursuant to Section 2 of Article 13 of our Constitution, to dissolve Dáil Éireann, to allow a general election to be held on Friday, the 29th of November. I want to start by saying to the people of this great country, this great democracy, you alone are sovereign. You go out and you cast your vote, and in return, you're entitled to good government and hard work. I believe that this government has made real progress for our country, and I want to today thank my colleagues in the Fine Gael Party and our coalition partners in Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. We did not agree on every issue, But we did always work hard and together for the good of the Irish people. Our coalition delivered 5 progressive budgets. Budgets that protected our people during the COVID pandemic, during Russia's ongoing illegal invasion of Ukraine, and the cost of living crisis that flowed from the return of the war to Europe. Our coalition is delivering new homes across our country, and it has built up the finances and the plans to deliver the homes that our people need in the future. The time is now right to ask the Irish people to give a new mandate. Ireland is a country of industry, of enterprise, of agriculture and education, community, culture and compassion. On the international stage, we are a country of conscience, a country that believes in international law. The voices of our more than 5 million citizens are listened to because of our track record and moral compass, seen most clearly in the recognition of the state of Palestine in May. We are a small country with a big influence all over the world, and we have many assets, but no asset more valuable than our people. Irish people are decent, they're hardworking, they're fair. And it is the honour of my lifetime to serve as your Taoiseach. In just 7 short months, I've travelled to every part of this beautiful country. I've met thousands of them, and we've discussed hundreds of issues. Your concerns are my priorities. And over the next 3 weeks, I will seek a mandate to continue as your Taoiseach and to deliver for you on the things that matter most to you, your family, your community, and to our country. I want to secure your future. Others will, of course, seek alternative mandates. And it's vital we have an election that fully considers our very different visions for our country's economic and social future. The progress Ireland has made and can make should never be taken for granted. This election must be a safe and respectful campaign for all politicians and all their teams, and I wish all candidates luck. Finally, I ask just one thing of the Irish people. Value your vote. Use your voice. That's how this country works. It's how we listen. It's how we act on your behalf. Ladies and gentlemen, if you give me your trust, I will give you my all. Your minimum.
And so that's that. The outgoing Taoiseach Simon Harris of Fine Gael there announcing that he's on his way to Áras an Uachtaráin, where he will ask President Higgins to dissolve the 33rd Dáil. Barry Lenehan is still with us, as is Dr. Kevin Cunningham, and Teresa Reedy of UCC is in Cork. Teresa, I cut you off in your prime, but maybe in the couple of minutes we have left to us, you might say something about what you're expecting from the campaign over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a relatively short campaign, and it's taking place in the winter. So we probably need to separate out what we call sometimes the ground campaign, which is the 500 or so candidates around the country. There's going to be a lot of knocking on doors during the day, but because of the evening's getting dark so quickly, I think the campaign will actually be on the ground, quite kind of compressed into the daylight hours, with a lot of maybe canvassing at matches or shopping centres to try and catch as many voters as they can. And then we'd have to expect that they're going to probably lean more into the air campaign, into social media, into as much as they can in relation to broadcast media, national press. And so there'll be really intense activity, different dynamics and different objectives from the different political parties. As I was saying earlier, we'd expect the government to be emphasising stability, the economy. We'll be expecting the opposition to really go in hard on areas where there are significant deficits in the Irish system, especially in places like housing and childcare. I think health will actually get less attention in this election than it has done in previous ones.
Is there a chance that health could be very big in some areas, like in the Midwest, and perhaps not such an issue in some others?
I think so. I think particularly in Limerick, in Limerick City, Limerick County, Clare, Tipperary, it'll be very much on the agenda because of the huge issues there. But there's a sense of progress, or at least mild improvement in other parts of the country. And I think also there's also a lot of agreement amongst the main political parties about health. So there's not a lot of divergence. There aren't points to be scored. So it's not a space into which I think we will hear an awful lot. I do think housing and the economy are going to be front and centre. But because it's just so late in the year, we'll definitely be seeing a lot of this election played out in broadcast media, on podcasts, in social media. And that's a different dynamic to the summer campaign that we've just had with the local elections, where, you know, people were out late canvassing into the evenings. It's going to be quite different in that sense.
Barry, what are you expecting over the next 3 weeks?
Well, we heard there Simon Harris saying, appealing to people, decent, hardworking and fair. Is that the appeal to those who get up early in the morning, that key cohort in those commuter belt constituency? Again, it'll be a fascinating few weeks ahead. Lots of different ground games, lots of provincial matches where you'll see plenty of candidates and plenty of skirmishes, I think, as well. The coalition partners, a different dynamic. The first election we're going into now, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, arch rivals for so long, coalition partners the last few years. How do they untangle themselves? And that dynamic for this election campaign will make it perhaps unique to anything that's gone before.
Yeah, let's keep up the sporting metaphor, Kevin. The ball has been thrown in. What happens now?
Yeah, I think one of the things I'll be looking out for certainly is the volatility, and certainly in opinion polling, I think is the thing I'm probably most nervous about, because the number of people who will tune in now to what's going on and decide that they have to now make a decision on what party they actually want to vote for is enormous. And that's going to change everything over the next couple of weeks. The compositions of who's likely to be in government, how people think about the election, how people think about what government that they want in the future, I think that's going to drive quite a lot.
And there's one key cohort we haven't mentioned. It's the people who didn't vote in June in the local and the European elections. Perhaps a younger voter, perhaps they're not listening to traditional media or consuming it. That cohort perhaps is the key one here.